Joining us, the pride of the University of Toledo, city manager Patrick Birch, who has just made a big announcement to the council. Pat, I'll let you tell the community what's going on.
Well, obviously, I've been here almost 9 years now and been a city manager in Michigan for over 32 years, and I think it's about time that I take my leave. I'll miss Jackson. It's been tough. I mean, it's kind of chokes me up. I really love what I do here in Jackson, and I'll be retiring close to the end of February. I just want everybody to know that, especially my council and my coworkers, it's been a pleasure working with all of them. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with a lot of council members over my career and mayors. I gotta tell you, this is second to none here. I've served with some very, very intelligent, bright, intuitive people, and been welcomed by this community and both the both communities in terms of political spectrum, and I think it's been pretty productive in this community.
What have been the frustrations, Pat?
Well, the frustrations, I think, is to watch. I mean, part of the city management field is getting hacked apart sometimes by people come to meetings, and usually that happens by somebody who has got a particular gripe on a particular issue. Here in Jackson, it kind of goes on and on by particular people that have a vendetta of some kind to make sure that your life becomes a living hell. That's a little bit different than any community I've ever heard of or any city manager I've ever spoken with. We all have our tribulations, obviously, and I've had long tenures of where I've been. I guess it's really hard to see really intuitive people on my council that are doing this for very little money to get continually attacked in a terrible way, both personally, their spouses, because they do this work in Jackson. And I don't know anybody who serves on my council or has served on this council here, from Marty, Karen, Bill George, Jason, or Derek, that have ever done this, or any of the council members that do what they do for some vested self-interest. I think they do
certainly
it
because not money.
No, certainly not money, because that's not it.
Yeah.
So I think they do it because they really love Jackson. I really love Jackson. But at some point, it starts taking a toll on your health, and I really don't want to end up like my father did at 60 years old, having a heart attack. I've been a long time. I've put my job and what I do as a living as my identity for 32 years ahead of my family, and I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Are you taking another job, or what's in the future for you?
Yeah, I'm going to go back where my wife and family live in Ohio, and I'll be taking a job there.
Okay. Can you tell us anything about it? Or?
The job is in Ohio, around the Toledo area, where my wife and family live now. It's a administrator position. With a community that I live in, or don't live in now, because I actually live in Michigan and have for my whole career, but it's going to be strange to move to Ohio. I haven't lived in Ohio since I was 18 years old, so I visit there. But
you're kind of going back home then.
Yeah, it's going back home, and it's not as, I mean, I love what I do. I think in order to have the kind of work that I normally do here, a lot of equity work, social and economic justice work that I really like to participate in with the Department of Civil Rights, I'm going to have to get involved at that state level, and then also possibly volunteer in Toledo, because the community I go to is actually next door to Toledo.
Well, I can tell just talking to you off the bat, this is a tough decision, a painful decision for you.
It has. It's been a very difficult decision. Many people know that the community has, a long time ago, I interviewed in a couple of communities, backed out of one, backed out of this one. They came back to me, and it's been a very difficult decision because Jackson is kind of my identity. I mean, I love doing economic development here. I think we've raised standards of living. I think we've raised had some real benefit here. And I feel like it almost feels like I'm deserting some people who really believed that this process, that somehow I'm the driver of this process. And I think there's a big, there's a good team at the city that can drive this process, even with my absence. So, and please, I don't want anybody to underestimate this current council or Derek Dobies. While we don't have a strong mayor system, you have Jonathan Green, Shane Laporte. There's a bunch of people that work at that city, including the department heads and finance, that do an excellent job of running this city, whether people, whether some people on the street believe that or they don't.
What are your biggest accomplishments, do you figure?
Well, I think that when I came here, the council asked me, when I first interviewed here, they asked me, at what point, what do you intend to do? What do you want to do here? I said, change the way we do business. Change the way we do economic development. And I told them, this is not your grandmother's economic development. Economic development isn't done like it was in the 80s. All those renditions and illustrations and plan views that we do are visionary things, and we simply do them to show and then produce pro formas to make sure that we have an ability in an economy in Jackson that doesn't support buildings that are that don't meet the cash flow analysis that has to be done. Because our values are low, we can't get appraisals on buildings, so it makes it particularly difficult here. So I think that the economic development effort here is second to none. If anybody asks the MEDC, they'll say that the same
illustration. But it's challenging, isn't it?
Very challenging. But people around this state, when I was in Dundee, I used to hear about Jackson. They were in the same district, in the MEDQ district, and I used to come here all the time. And a lot of people just didn't. Nobody in Jackson really participated on a state level, so they thought kind of Jackson was this cocoon that really wasn't going places. And I think that now the people in this state are starting to stand up and recognize that Jackson is a power to be reckoned with. The people here, the organizations here, the hospital, certainly Patty Poppe and Consumers Energy, and this city, who finally stood up and took a leadership role of instead of standing back like you're a fullback, maybe they're the tailback now, not the fullback. Maybe not the quarterback yet, but I think Jackson has been used to doing things and ducking, you know, the council. And they finally had to stand up and take a leadership role. I think that I got, you know, the pension funds are in much better shape because I think people may not understand the complexity of actuarial science. So they simply do little or just carry the status quo. And if our police and firefighters are going to have a pension in the future, we have to start taking accountability and we have to start thinking about ways to make those work. We think we're far more well-funded. I came here right out of an absolute terrible recession. And I think that we've brought back, including the team, and this started with Marty Griffin, Derek Dobies, Andy, when they first started working on these pensions back in 2011, and I think we were on the road to a real good recovery and the fund balance. I mean, people think of fund balance as a dirty word, but our credit rating is the highest it's been since the 40s with Standard & Poor's. We have a fund balance that's been consistent over the last 8 years. We haven't had to cut our budget since 2011. So Jackson's in a very good position economically and very good position to bring more and more companies and more living downtown. I think it's a great community.
What, Pat, are the frustrations of the job?
I think the frustrations of the job are trying to do the right thing and understanding the study of economics. Most people get scared of that because they think it's math. And it's not. Economics is a study of human behavior in terms of purchasing, and it's also the study of what to do with resources that are scarce that could be used for something else. And then you have to make decisions based on what things go where. And I think a lot of people misunderstand the causality between one intervention and another. And I'll give you an example. When I came here, I noticed that when we in 2011, we did these huge, I got staff together and did a lot of touring in the community about how many vacant houses we had. And we had very low values in housing. Well, that's a pretty good indication that you got way too much supply and not enough people to buy those housing. We just happen to be lucky enough, and if you can call it lucky enough, to have houses that are in such poor repair that the cost of repairing them at the time would have been $222 million as opposed to about $11 million to tear them down. And when we did that, we have wards now as direct. We had a study done, a statistical analysis done, that just between 12 and 15, the values just in the first ward alone went up 176% based on the intervention of the demolition program and getting bad product. It's the old, you know, broken window theory. You know, it's the idea that once you get bad product out of there, the value has, you've now restricted the supply of good housing. And what it did is, and this is to go back to what I said before, I thought my job was to try to create, was to try my best to give people and provide an environment by which people would have equity in their homes again after the recession. And I think that's the case now, as you've seen in the real estate market.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were skeptical of tearing down these homes, but the jury is in. It was thumbs up.
I mean, anybody who reads a basic economics book, even in high school,
sure,
understands why I proposed what I did to council. And I got to tell you, some councils may not have gone along with this, but you have some very, I mean, I want to stress enough, this community has some very bright people on their councils. That's not always been the case in my career, but they have some very bright people that understand the premise of supply and demand. You know, there's a reason that it's not called the theory of supply and demand, is because any economist, whether they're right or left, are going to tell you that the supply and demand works in every instance, right?
Yeah.
There's a relationship between supply and price.
What are you going to miss the most? Yeah.
My friends. I have a lot of friends in Jackson. I sit there and I look back, go to breakfast, and I look back on Jackson. And I look at that downtown from different perspectives and the lights just at dawn. I'm in work at about 6 o'clock every morning. I go to breakfast and I look at that and I think, wow, I had a hand in that.
Well, just the changes since you've been here is remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Downtown?
Like I said, I could do nothing that which wasn't afforded me by elected officials that believed in that vision, right?
Yeah.
Some people just don't understand and will never believe in that vision. But we've had almost unanimous support on council since I've been here for the things we need to do. But you look around Jackson, it is undeniable. And believe me, I went through the first 3 years. I told my staff when Frank Donovan was here and Warren, I talked to them and I said, here's what I'd like to do. This overall economic development plan is called Joe's. He goes, Warren, you're not going to get that done. This is too political here. Or it's not going to happen. I had my staff tell me that. And you work at it, you work at it, you work at it until you've accomplished it. And I got to tell you, I think that when it comes down to it, this community is set to really take off even farther than it has. I just pray and hope that the council gets the right person, the kind of energy. I know a lot of city managers. I've been around them my whole life.
Yeah.
They're not all the same. Some people are considered caretakers. Some people are really on the edge doing things. And then some people are on the edge, but then they follow through. I consider myself one of the people that are on the edge in city management. I sometimes step on a lot of toes. I get that. The idea is not to step on every toe at the same time. So somebody wants to take a hatchet to you. But I think at some point, because, you know, I've never been pushed out of a community. I've had a community. I've had long tenure community. In fact, my PhD dissertation was on city manager tenure and why managers last have a very small tenure in careers. I mean, just my stay in Jackson is more than double the national average.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
So. And I think that's because I don't think there are a lot of people. What I got from my research is that it's more about emotional intelligence, about reading your audience and understanding when it's turning on you and adjusting. It doesn't happen very often with some people. They're very unisite, yep, and they don't get when things are happening around them. They're kind of oblivious.
What advice would you have, Pat, for your replacement?
I would say that... please be forward-thinking.
And you will be very difficult to replace.
Well, thank you, Greg. I, I think that I have a lot of staff. I think you've probably got a couple people in staff that are very qualified at doing what I do. I think they've seen that vision. I think what's really important, and I told them, I said, if you are in a situation as a city manager and you can have a council that really, really loves you, right? And if your staff don't, you're a dead man walking and you don't even know it. Because those staff are related to people who are related to your council and you're related to the community. And I tell people, don't ever use the word employee. I don't like that term. It makes it sound subservient. The people I work with are my friends and coworkers, and I treat them as such. Mm-hmm. They get the equipment they need to do their job. If they have to go read to their child for an hour at school, we don't make them take and dock their time for it. That's important to be part of the community, and it's really, really important to help people understand. People want to come to work when they feel like they're not punching a time clock and somebody's watching to see if they're a minute late. Treat people with respect and you'll get a lot of work out of people. And that's what we find. I mean, I have staff meetings every 2 months at 6 o'clock in the morning. Just anybody who wants to come and learn about the economic development project we do. And they're attended by 35 or 40 people. When I first did that, and they're voluntary, I didn't tell many they ever had to come.
Right.
I had six. People show up. And then people wanted to be in on what was going on in Jackson, and staff would come just to hear and be part of the discussion. And that means clerks, that means a chief building official. It means everybody gets equal say in what we're trying to accomplish here. So it makes a real difference.
Sounds like you're pretty pleased with the staff you're leaving behind.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of confidence in this staff. I mean, I think that when I first got here, everybody operated in silos. It was almost as if you went to one floor and you moved to a different country. They didn't talk to each other. They did, but there's a real, most people that work at the city will tell you this, back in 2010, there's a lot of distrust between floors. And if people aren't working together and aren't starting to recognize each other as not just coworkers, but also friends, I think they're really missing something. Most management gurus will tell you that to keep back from all that. I just don't believe that. And any manager who tells me that, has lasted 3 years in his career in every single community.
Yeah. What about the future here in Jackson? What do you see? What do you hope for?
Well, I think you know, and I'll say the R word. I think that at some point, the city council and the staff have got to prepare for some type of drawback in the economy. You've gone a long time nationally. You've seen a recession about every 9 years in the U.S. economy over the last 200 years. We're past due. I think we've positioned ourselves so that Jackson won't suffer like it did in the last one, right? When I came here, and when Derek got elected and this whole shot, we had 2 days of operating cash at the city, which restricted anything we could do. And we don't have that position anymore. We have things. We're doing four times the number of roads we used to do. We're doing a lot of things that are exciting. I think the future is very bright. Regardless of even a downturn in the recession, I think we position ourselves both in pension plans, infrastructure, all the economic developments happening, and people follow through with that, I think they're going to be just fine. And I think Jackson is a place people want to be, as you know, a Chicago article just mentioned.
Yeah.
When's the last time you ever heard something like that? It almost surprising when it came out. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I really thought that when I came here, it was uncanny how people in Jackson didn't believe in their own community.
Negative.
It wasn't just the city. They were
a lot
very
of negative.
Yeah, a lot of
negative.
You know it. I mean, there was a lot of negative about Jackson. They go and talk about all these communities they want to be in. Oh, Jackson's dead. Well, would you want to come to Jackson? When I came here, people asked me why I came. And then my first 3 months, I got into City Hall, and I had to requisition paper clips, and I thought, I want to be here. I mean, it took me 3 months to unpack my boxes. But you start getting friendships, and you make it what you need it to be in
sure.
terms of what you think you need to accomplish.
So a melancholy moment for you, but going back home is got to be exciting.
It is. I'm from Ohio originally.
Yeah.
I grew up there, but I've lived in Michigan since I graduated my master's degree at the University of Toledo and took my first job as the budget director in Adrian, Michigan, and then went to Dundee after that. So it's been since I've been 23. I've lived in Michigan. So it's a little unusual, right?
Because Dundee's pretty close to Ohio.
Yeah, it is. 17 miles. But I got to tell you, it's one of those things where if you're deciding to go to another state in this field, there's a whole nother set of state laws. I've learned these laws and the changes and as amended for 32 years.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge, but I think that, you know, I hold Jackson with a lot more endearment than anything I've ever worked in my life because the feeling of doing work that not just benefits people who have money in terms of what that economic development means to somebody's pocketbook, but also participate in development that seeks to do equitable development in terms of economic justice. And when you see the balance of the market rate housing and the LIHTC low-income tax credit housing happening downtown, that balance is really important. And I want to make one point really clear, is that when you see those LIHTC projects going up, the senior housing and the lofts project, they'll have granite countertops, just like the 200 will have granite countertops. The idea of low-income housing isn't low-standard housing. It's housing that's certainly simply subsidized so people with low income can participate. And we want people to feel like they've got hope.
Pull people up.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you will certainly be missed, Pat, here, and you've done an unbelievable job, really. Like you said, most managers are around for a couple moons here.
Yeah, 3.7 years average nationally. So
that seems long here.
It does. I think I've been here probably as long as Warren was on his two stints put together.
But you've got a lot of great friends here, and I
do.
Know they're going to miss you.
Hundreds and hundreds of really great friends here. I mean, an hour and 20 minutes away. But
yeah.
I've offered counsel if they need help, or if my staff will call me. That's not unusual. Heck, I'm still receiving calls from people I work with in Dundee on questions on, you know, where this sewer ran, and I still have it up here, right? It's still there. And I have that here. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of intricate projects. It's going to be hard to turn it over because I carry a lot of stuff in my head, in terms of, I write a lot of it down, but there's a lot of things I'm thinking 5 years in advance. And that's one of the things that my staff, Jonathan, Shane, and some other people have come to me. Even last night was at City Hall at 6:30. They came up and said, I got a list of things that we need to really think about these projects that you've been working on. And that's important that they carry those things through and basically have and have a council that respects the city manager form of government, because it's just like Patty Poppy. I mean, her board stockholders make broad policy decisions. She runs that company, and that's the same as the city manager form of government.
Pat, good luck to you, and thanks for doing this.
No, thank you.
Thanks from the community.
Thank you very much.